here with us for the morning show as we look at the issue of police residency requirements. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Protests that swept across our country in the wake of George Floyd's death have rekindled the debate over where police live. And some activists want officers to be required to live in the cities they patrol. They argue it will make officers more culturally competent, diversify police forces, and improve community trust. Our partners at Wiscontext, they reached out to 8 cities across the state to request data about the residency status of their police officers. And those cities are Beloit, Green Bay, Kenosha, Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, Waukesha, and Wausau. Should police live where they work? Does it affect the job they do? We're at 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is associate editor of Wiscontext. That's the reporting partnership between Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Will, welcome back.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So why did you reach out to these 8 cities?
That's a good question. It all kind of stemmed from the protests following the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And an analysis by some publications up in the Twin Cities of residency data in Minneapolis that found that only 8% of police officers who are employed by the city of Minneapolis actually live in the city there.
You said 8%.
8%
live in the city. Wow.
Yep. So that's a really low figure, or we thought so, and I think a lot of people thought so as well. And so we were interested in seeing what the figures are in some of Wisconsin cities, particularly cities that have larger communities of people of color.
And so, you know, were you able to make some generalizations here? Because, you know, 8 cities, they probably have, some differences there. But what did you find?
Yeah, it really ranged quite a bit. And what we found was actually, in some cases, a lingering effect of prior residency requirements. So the state of Wisconsin allowed municipalities and local governments to impose residency requirements for all city employees. Up until 2013, the budget law that was passed that year, signed by former Governor Scott Walker, preempted local government's ability to mandate residency of city employees. In most cases, local governments can still mandate a 15-mile radius for some employees, including police officers, mostly emergency employees, so police officers, firefighters, and EMTs. And then a Wisconsin Supreme Court decision in 2016 settled a legal dispute between the city of Milwaukee and the state about that. So
because Milwaukee wanted to have its officers living in the city?
Exactly. And all its city employees. The city of Milwaukee actually had a residency requirement for 75 years before this preemption law passed. But in 2016, the city of Milwaukee could no longer enforce its residency requirement. We're already seeing the effects of that. We found that the city of Milwaukee actually has, of the 8 cities that you mentioned at the beginning here, that we asked, the city of Milwaukee actually has the highest number of police officers living in the city, and that's just under 50%. And so if all police officers were living in the city when the preemption law was passed not that many years ago, that's a pretty steep decline in Milwaukee. Most other cities that we got data from had residency of police officers ranging from about a third to somewhere in like the 40% range. But the lowest was the city of Racine, just south of Milwaukee, where only 16% of the city's police officers live within city limits.
We're talking with Will Cushman, associate editor of Wiscontext and the author of a new report about police residency in Wisconsin's 8 largest cities. You can join in. What questions do you have about whether police should or should not live where they work? Does it affect the job they do? Does it matter in your community? Join in at 800-642-1234. Will, what do community advocates say about why it matters whether police live in the city they work or not?
Advocates say that when a police officer, for instance, In the city of Milwaukee, which is essentially the most racially segregated metropolitan area in the nation, when a police officer lives in the mostly white suburbs or rural areas around Milwaukee, and then is policing quite diverse communities within the city, majority Black or Hispanic communities, it can set up a sort of us versus them mentality, both among the police officers and the communities that they're intended to serve. And that can create a whole number of problems, tension between police and community members, which we've seen a lot of in the last month, and a whole host of other issues that activists see arising from that.
So they say that if the police officer lives and works in the community where they are on their beat, or where at least in the city where they are working, that they will know more about their city and be more inclined perhaps to understand their neighbors and how things work in that city.
Exactly. Yeah, they said they're more likely to know kind of who the local leaders are, local power brokers, but then also just the local residents, and maybe better positioned to more effectively de-escalate conflict between residents and between themselves and residents. So there's really this sense that if police officers are living among the people that they're serving, that they're more likely to feel a kind of more ingrained obligation to that community.
Let's take a call. Nate is with us from Eau Claire this morning. Hi, Nate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just had a comment. I was thinking if police officers were, which I agree, it would be good if police officers lived in the communities they were serving in, but in some larger communities, it is very expensive to live there. So I was thinking maybe they could get a work stipend for housing or something like that, because I think that would be one of the major obstacles to living in the community where you work.
Nate, thank you for bringing that up. I could probably say that it is very expensive to live in Minneapolis, for instance, not in an inexpensive city. What do you see there, Will?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And I talked to some police officers, mostly in leadership positions around the state. And they said that that's definitely an issue in some places, potentially Minneapolis, as you mentioned, Kate, but then like other really large coastal cities. New York was brought up by one officer I talked to. But that's probably not a huge issue in most communities in Wisconsin. Some cities have also looked into, for instance, the city of Milwaukee has looked into negotiating some sort of residency incentive with the local police union. So the officers who choose to reside within the city would receive a small pay bump, potentially. That hasn't gone anywhere right now. It's just kind of they're in talks about that right now. Mm. But that's one potential solution.
Well, Cushman is associate editor of WisConText. He analyzed data on where police officers live in 8 cities around the state as the debate over residency requirements has resurfaced. Do you think residency requirements improve relations between officers and the residents they're sworn to protect? Should it matter whether officers reside within 15 miles of the jurisdictional boundaries? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Will Cushman here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're exploring where police officers live. Our partners at WisConText reached out to 8 cities across the state to request data about the residency status of their police officers, and they found that not a single police department employs a force in which even half of its officers live within its jurisdiction. So does that matter? Police associations and unions have argued residency requirements limit the talent pool, that they cause perhaps even corruption. What do you think about residency requirements? Join in 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is associate editor of Wisconsin-Text, and he stays with us. Will, as you reached out to these eight cities and gathered this raw data from departments, were there challenges in interpreting the data?
Yeah, there were for sure. There were even challenges in just receiving the data. So when we reached out to these cities, we asked for just the city name and potentially the zip code for each officer who works for the city. And so there were obvious potential concerns about releasing private information. And so we didn't want the street addresses associated with police officers, and the cities weren't going to provide those anyway. But one issue that arose due to that is that the addressing system in a number of Wisconsin cities, for instance, around Green Bay and Racine, is such that the zip codes and city name that appears on someone's address does not necessarily align with the city where they actually reside. So the data...
Wait, what? Got... How does that work?
Yeah, that was news to me, too. So basically, like, if this was an issue, particularly in the Green Bay area, where I talked to a number of folks with the city there, and they said that there are a number of people who live in suburbs that immediately surround Green Bay. So that would be like Ashwaubenon, Howard, Bellevue, Alloway, who are served by the Green Bay post offices. And have Green Bay zip codes. And so therefore, the city that appears on their actual address is Green Bay, and it's not Ashwaubenon or Alloway or whatever. And actually, the police commander that I interviewed from Green Bay, Kevin Warwick, he actually told me that he himself lives in Ashwaubenon. So he could be potentially among some of those officers who were listed as living in Green Bay, but do live elsewhere. We're not positive how big of an issue that is with the data in some of these cities, but it does kind of raise some questions. And at least the data that we do have, so we show that somewhere around 43% of Green Bay officers have addresses showing that they are in the city of Green Bay. But that's kind of like a ceiling for where that figure could be, because there are a number of officers that we expect actually living in some of the suburbs.
Well, let's take another call. Now, Lynn is with us from Siren. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. What do you think about residency requirements for officers?
Well, my father was a Chicago policeman, and Chicago has residency for their Chicago policemen and firemen. And it's been like that for a long time. And, I mean, it was just part of the job. If you wanted to go on to the job, you knew that you had that residency.
And what was that like for you growing up? Did you even think about it? Was it even considered?
Well, we lived in a neighborhood that was mainly Chicago policemen and Chicago firemen.
And so it was really clustered with law enforcement and people who worked for the fire department. Why was that, do you think?
I think it was because it was on the edge of the city and it was a little bit nicer neighborhood.
Lynn, thank you for bringing that story. Will, how would you interpret that Chicago, with its residency requirements, still had first responders clustered together?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And I talked to a researcher from the UW School of Business, who does a lot of research on human resources issues in police departments and how various work rules and requirements affect policing outcomes and community policing relationships. And he said that the residency requirements are the effects of them are kind of all over the place. And he said that one effect of them in cities such as Chicago, and we actually see this in Wisconsin as well, in Milwaukee, that's becoming less the case now that its residency requirement has been preempted. But there are neighborhoods that are kind of full of police officers or firefighters and their families, or in some cities, public school teachers, et cetera. And so, yeah, that could create kind of like a similar dynamic that advocates are critical of, in that police officers are choosing to kind of self-segregate into these clusters, into these neighborhoods, and may not be living kind of among the greater community as advocates would like to see. So, I mean, even with residency requirements, you're going to probably in a lot of major cities deal with some of these us versus them issues anyway.
Will, take us back to the city that had the least number of officers living in the city. What did the department tell you?
So that was the city of Racine. And Racine was also a pretty interesting case with its addressing system. So the Racine's data was probably the most, it was actually the most complete of all the data that we got. And it included both the city name of the address associated with all the officers, and along with a notation as to whether or not that address was actually in the city of Racine. And kind of something that was really shocking to me was 48% of officers had Racine addresses, but actually only 16% of officers live within city limits. So there's a whole area around Racine that has Racine addresses that's not actually in the city. And I spoke to the mayor there, Corey Mason, and he said he considers that a big problem, the low number of officers living in the city, especially since the areas around Racine are quite white, and the city of Racine itself is quite diverse and has large Black and Hispanic populations. And he said that they're working on ways to try to increase the ranks of police officers within the city, kind of from the ground up. They're working on potentially like a public safety academy within the local school district. And he describes some other initiatives as well.
So they're trying to kind of start to remedy this, maybe to try to actively recruit more officers from within the city?
Yes. Yeah, that's what he said. It sounds like they're kind of at the early stages of that. But he sounded hopeful that it would at least provide more opportunities for local kids interested in law enforcement careers to pursue that career locally.
Do we have any real notion how police officers feel about these requirements?
Yeah, I spoke with officers' leadership in Madison, Wausau, and Green Bay. And then a colleague at WPR spoke with some in Milwaukee, and none of them are really supportive of residency requirements. In particular, they said it really can hinder recruitment efforts, especially in a metropolitan area where there's a lot of police departments, and some police departments may have a residency requirement and others don't. There's the potential for police departments kind of like poaching each other's officers, increasing competition. And then they just said any type of requirement that tells a prospective applicant that they have to live somewhere is going to cause some people to self-select out of that process.
Is there any notion that even the 15 or 20 miles within the jurisdiction is even that limiting to departments?
Yeah, I spoke with the police chief in Wausau, Ben Bliven, and he said that Wausau does enforce a 20-mile radius requirement, residency requirement. And he said that there have been job applicants who have dropped out after finding out about that requirement up there.
Is there any further steps that you will take with now knowing that this data exists? Is this something you monitor? Where do you go with this content?
That's a really good question. I think we're going to be interested to see how things continue to change in the city of Milwaukee over the coming years. See how the lack of their ability to enforce a residency requirement there continues to change the demographics of their city employees and city residents.
Well, Will, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Will Cushman is associate editor of WisConText, and you can read his latest story and the entire series on policing practices and accountability in Wisconsin. You can find it at wiscontext.org. Coming up, we talk with a pair of UW-Milwaukee researchers who are tracking the coronavirus through sewage. What do you want to know about the presence of active virus in the wastewater, in the feces? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll talk about it right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.